I wish I were quicker on my toes. I'd think of a great metaphor for what happened during the children's blessing. I just know you're very strong, Alan. Jesus stands by the Lake of Gennesaret, teaching a crowd of people who are eager to hear from him. Among them are fishermen, ordinary, hard-working people who have spent the entire night casting their nets in search of a catch, only to come up empty. In this moment, Jesus invites the fishermen into something radically different. This isn't just about fishing. It's a call to transformation, both personal and collective. Jesus doesn't merely want us to follow him. He's calling us into a movement that challenges the systems that oppress, that disrupts the status quo, that calls us to live out Jesus' justice, love, and inclusivity in our world today. Now, Jesus starts on the shore of a lake, and people, crowds of them, are pressing all around him, and they are inescapable. So much so that he looks around, and seeing some boats, he climbs into one, and he asks Simon to push the boat a little way out into the lake. Then he's able to sit in the boat and speak to the people so that they can actually hear him. Have you ever noticed how beautifully sound travels over water? After Jesus is finished teaching the crowds that have been following him, he turns to the men who have been washing their fishing nets in the morning light. Peter and the other fishermen are so weary. They've worked all night and they have caught absolutely nothing. They're exhausted, frustrated, and ready to call it a day. Jesus then tells them, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Peter responds by explaining their futile night's work, but then he obeys anyway. If it had been me, I imagine I would be huffing loudly and rolling my eyes. "Seriously, Jesus? Why is this carpenter telling me how to fish? I think I know how to fish." Have you ever gone fishing? I know some of you raised your hands. I saw you. I once went fishing with my Uncle Stan, my father, and my cousins to a beautiful lake up in the San Bernardino Mountains. I was given a pole. I was taught how to bait and to cast it. And then I sat. And I sat. And I sat. We were there for hours, and we caught absolutely nothing, unless you count the shrub that was behind me. Now, Jesus is asking them to go out again, to let down their nets, and this is the second disruption in our story by Jesus. He's already borrowed one of their boats for his own use, and now Jesus asks them to do something that seems illogical, impractical, and certainly inconvenient. They've tried everything they know, and yet Jesus invites them to try again, to trust him beyond the limits of their own experience and logic. I wonder if they wavered or they stalled or balked. These men knew of Jesus' power. After all, he had just healed Simon's mother-in-law recently. They had seen his abilities firsthand. But this is their area of expertise, their lifelong learning. And yet Jesus speaks with such calm confidence. Much like the fishermen on that early morning, many of us might feel trapped in something that isn't working, whether it's politics, our economy, our healthcare system, work, relationships, or personal struggles. We try the same methods, the same approaches, and yet we find ourselves in cycles of frustration and exhaustion. The radical message here is that Jesus isn't offering us the same old answers. He's calling us to step beyond the ordinary, beyond what we know, into deeper waters, waters of justice, waters of transformation, waters of inclusion. The challenge is this: Will we trust him enough to do things differently, to disrupt our lives, our ways of thinking, our complicity in systems that harm? When Peter obeys, they catch a miraculous abundance of fish, so many that their nets begin to break, and they have to call for help. Imagine them gesturing wildly to the shore while the others are cleaning their nets. And I wonder if they had to yell or whistle to get their attention. Not only are their nets breaking, but the wee boats almost go under with the weight of the fish that they are hauling in. Two boats full of fish in minutes that had been sadly empty after an entire night's labor. The miracle isn't just a personal blessing for Peter. It's a collective moment that includes everyone, neighbors, friends, and even strangers. The abundance that results from obedience to Jesus isn't just for the fishermen. It's meant to be shared. These fish are meant to be shared with the community, not to rot in the sun, for there are more than enough for even one or many to consume. The kingdom of God is a place of radical abundance, a place where there is enough for everyone, where the resources of the world are not hoarded by the powerful, but shared generously to encourage that no one goes hungry. Jesus shows them and us a reality of abundance, one where resources are shared and used with loving purpose. The miracle is a glimpse of the kingdom of God, where there is more than enough for everyone. In a world where wealth is concentrated in the hands of a few, where resources are hoarded and inequality grows, Jesus calls us to imagine something radically different. A world where justice, not scarcity, defines our economy. A world where we share resources, where the abundance of God's love, grace, and provision is extended to all, especially the marginalized. Jesus calls us to embody a spirit of generosity and justice that challenges the idea of scarcity. When we are willing to share what we have, when we work together for a world that ensures no one goes without, we become participants in God's vision of abundance. After witnessing the miraculous catch, Peter falls at Jesus' feet, feeling unworthy. He says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." His encounter with Jesus reveals his own brokenness and feelings of inadequacy. This moment is not about self-loathing, but about an honest encounter with the truth of who we are. Peter's reaction is rooted in humility, recognizing his own flaws. Peter's moment of recognition isn't about feeling shame, but an acknowledgement. When we come face to face with the holiness and mercy of God, we are invited to confront not only our personal sins, but also the broader systems of injustice we might participate in. It's about being honest with ourselves, about how we benefit from those systems, often at the expense of others. Jesus invites us not to run away from our brokenness, but to confront it and allow it to be transformed. If we recall last week's sermon by Craig, the reaction of the religious in Jesus' hometown was rage, not just anger or discomfort, but rage at the words of Jesus in the synagogue. They were infuriated to the point of attempted murder. Those who have power and are challenged are often loath to relinquish it. Compare their reaction against Peter the fisherman's: humble, honest, and open, willing to accept a new way of doing things. In today's world, it's easy to become comfortable, unaware, or even willfully blind to the ways we benefit from systems of privilege, whether it's racial, gender, economic, or social. When we hear the call of Jesus, it forces us to confront our own complicity in these systems, to acknowledge where we have failed to act in justice, or where we have upheld oppressive systems by our silence or inaction or lack of knowledge. True discipleship begins with an honest recognition of where we fall short, not just personally, but collectively. We must ask ourselves, how are we complicit in systems of injustice? How are we perpetuating inequality? It's only when we confront our brokenness that we can truly begin the work of transformation, both in our hearts and in our world. Jesus tells Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." This marks a profound shift. Peter is no longer simply a fisherman in his boat collecting fish. He's called into a new mission. It's about gathering people, building community, and sharing in the radical justice of God's kingdom. Jesus doesn't call us just to follow him. He asks us to actively participate in his mission. The fishing is not about converting and counting individuals into a rigid set of beliefs. It's about gathering people into a movement of justice, equality, and collective liberation. Jesus calls us to be fishers of people, not just to offer salvation, but to join him in gathering with those who have been marginalized, oppressed, and excluded. This is a call to action, not just contemplation. In a world divided by systems of inequality, Jesus invites us to a new identity as agents of change. Whether it's working for racial justice, fighting for gender equality, advocating for the rights of refugees and immigrants, or challenging economic systems that exploit the poor, our faith is meant to be embodied in action. This is a powerful invitation to take on a new identity as someone who is not just concerned with their own spiritual journey, but who is called to participate in the healing and the transformation of the world while on their spiritual journey. How can we embody this call in our communities? How can we challenge the unjust systems around us, offering love, justice, and peace to those who need it most? It will be different for each and every one of us. God's call in our lives is unique as we are. May we truly listen to the transformational call of God in our lives. Let's pray. God, may we be like Peter, open, honest, and humble. May we follow you, seeking to do your great work in our daily lives. May we be kind. May we seek justice and reconciliation. May we be spurred to action in love flowing from your all-encompassing love. Amen.